Hello, welcome again to this podcast. I have so many, I don't even remember which one is this. I think this is the Amputee Guy. Yeah, welcome to the Amputee Guy. My name is Benjamin Castillo. You can call me Ben. Today we have the topic in English, which you can find in Spanish. If you want to learn Spanish, it's called Three Reasons Why You Can Win with a Narcissist. And today we have Max with us again. Max, welcome back.
I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
So thank you for helping us with this. So first of all, let's talk about what a narcissistic person is.
All right.
What do you think?
Well, it says here in the article, and I know people like this, is that they think that the whole universe revolves around them. I can give you a good example. Is you start telling a story and immediately they'll have a story about themselves.
Oh crap! I know a couple.
Fuck, that's
those.
Me.
No, yeah, that too.
No, but everything has to be about them.
Yep.
Whether it is where you're going, why you're eating, what you're eating, how you're eating, everything relates back to them. You're annoying them. You're making them happy. Or maybe you're not. Or you're not sitting in the place that you want them to sit. You know, all these different crazy things. And it's always about them.
So Google has an awesome definition about what narcissism is. Another person, but the actual...
Not the myth or the legend.
I had a friend that says in Spanish, because a narcissistic, it's not the same as narcissism. The narcissistic, it's the noun.
Uh-huh.
And the narcissism, it's the action. Something like
it's
that.
The verb.
She explained. Yeah, she's smart. I'm not.
Okay.
Anyway, so on Google, if you look for narcissism, it says, is a disorder in which a person has an inflated sense of self-importance. Which you were talking about. Narcissistic personality disorder, which this is important, is a disorder, is found more commonly in men. The cause is unknown, but likely involves a combination of genetic and environmental factors. So today we're going to talk about why you should never fight with a narcissistic person, not necessarily what makes, like, we can talk about it, but not necessarily why a narcissistic person is made or like born.
Yeah, well, the article stating on why you won't win,
so
why even bother?
By default, you know that you're never you're never gonna win. The problem here is, like you said, like, you know, there is a lot of people out there that are narcissistics, and
well,
you will find them even in your family.
I wouldn't say that they have the disorder, but I would say that everybody has a time where their internal scoreboard puts them at a place where they feel like they're the center.
So I told this to my friend. We all have narcissism in ourselves at some
yes.
level. So if you put narcissism from 1 to 10, usually people are function within 1 and 2 on the level of narcissism, all of us. But then there are points where people can go like above 5 and then it becomes really bad.
Well, and also like how regularly it happens. And by
that was
the
my
way,
chair.
That was the chair. Benjamin here didn't fart. That was the chair.
Yeah.
But it's how regularly do they get into that?
Yep.
So it's the break from that emotion or that state.
So the article says we all met at one point a man or a woman who seems to believe they are all set the center of the universe. Arrogant, callous, and manipulative. They force the world around them to accommodate their beliefs. Self-important and conceited, the narcissist exaggerates accomplishments, requires endless praise, and has an uncanny ability to quash the achievements of others. They lack of empathy and don't seem aware that you are a whole person with your own needs. In fact, you're only an useful tool, something to extract admiration from.
So they're burning your candle out to make
yep.
theirs shine brighter.
So I was telling with my, I was talking with this friend in Spanish, in the Spanish episode. I do believe that I have narcissism, and I do believe that a lot of people who are in the arts and who like to be praised, we are kind of narcissistic in a way, but we, at least me, I try to make my narcissism helpful to others. Like, I do like attention. I do like to be praised. I do like the, look at me, I'm really good, and I'm gonna make an effort to be better at what I do so you can give me what I'm craving, which is attention.
Okay, but you're not doing it in a way in which you're hurting somebody else to get there.
No.
And that's that. Therein lies the difference, right? Yep. Is the, are you hurting somebody else to get... I think that you'll find it more in people that are kind of in leadership roles.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And they're in leadership roles. And then it's like, in order to get to this place, I've got to crush the person in front of me. And I can't think of anyone. Can you think of someone off the top of your head that's in it? I can think of, like, just growing up and around people that were like that. Like, they felt like they had to be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did they have to be the leader, but they had to crush anybody that came close to being better than they were, or that was obviously better than what they were, and just, you know, they got to crush them because I can't have anyone taking that spotlight away.
Yep.
Versus, I'm just trying to be good so I can get attention, is a whole different ball game.
It's still narcissism, and I think there should be a table. I didn't actually found a table or a chart
that tells you a graph on where you stand on the
toxicity on the narcissism. Yeah, I didn't find that. But so there is people, and there are different ways of people exploding their narcissism. It could be in the arts. It could be in their own house with their family members, or, you know, different ways. But so the article says, the dramatic attempts to hold your attention make your life seem tragic and fraught with anxiety, being perpetually cut down so that the narcissist can be better than, destroys self-confidence and eventually leads you down a spiral of gloom. So this is when I think narcissism becomes bad. No, not bad.
Well, I think it's when your self-importance starts to have a negative effect.
Impact on others.
On everyone around you. And that's where it comes into play. Is you can be self-important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a very good thing to be. But then when you start having to turn everybody down to raise your own self-importance...
See, that's not something I do.
But that's what I think was what the definition.
So... What I notice is that at some point, even when I was younger at school, I didn't like to work with people. Like, if there was a group assignment, I will always try to find, like, the least lazy people. Because I know I'm lazy. So if I get, like, paired with someone else that is lazy, I know we're gonna screw it up. But at the same time, I'm lazy. I know my timing, and I know how to do things my own way. And I like them to be my way. So eventually, I either end up doing the job all on my own because I didn't want to deal with people. But I never put anyone down just because they are not like me or they don't work like me. I just tell them, you know, like, do this and this and this and this. And then when they give me their side of the job, either I make corrections or I do something else. Just, I don't have to make them feel bad about it.
Yeah, but that's the difference between being a leader and being a narcissist. And I think is when you see somebody that's a narcissist, oftentimes they've put themselves into leadership roles, mm-hmm. or they've been placed into leadership roles. And so they feel like they have this, I have to be number one,
mm-hmm.
and there's my way or the highway.
And it's because a narcissistic person, I think they always have to prove themselves. For some reason, they always have to prove something to someone that they are good or better or they can do things. I don't. Like, if someone tells me, like, hey, can you make this cake? I'll straight up be like, yeah, sure, I can make it.
But do you think, and this is probably a future podcast, but do you think that person was either they have a disorder and they think that way? Or do you think, like, for somebody, for instance, somebody that was started out young and they were really good at something, like, say, a professional basketball player, and they're told their whole life,
mm-hmm.
you're the best,
You're the best thing since. How many normal conversations do you think that that person's had when everybody around them is there to make money off of them?
Yep.
Everybody around them is there to tell them how great they are so they can potentially make money off of them. So, for instance, you see somebody that, when you see somebody that acts strange, let's say Tom Cruise, right? I don't know what he's like in person. I've never met him. I don't think he's a narcissist, but how many normal conversations do you think Tom Cruise has?
Probably
very like few normal.
Count it with your fingers.
Very few. Hey, what are we having for lunch?
Probably it's usually his conversations is all about you need to do this and this and this and how much money I can get out of you.
Yeah, or they're really deep conversations that
no
are,
one else witnessed
are out there,
mm-hmm.
right? Because in order to be that way, you have to be different, and you're not going to have normal conversations. And so I think sometimes somebody that's in that becomes a narcissist is they're in a position where they're being fed this the whole time and they don't have a lot of normal conversations.
So for some reason, I don't know why this article is in Spanish and it's published by the same page, but it's published by a different person and it kind of talks different topics. So. These article is presented by Psych Central, and yeah. It was written by Sarah Newman, managing editor on these.
I've got the page. Same.
No. But the Spanish one is exactly the same article, but it's written by someone else. I don't know why. Anyway, so these lady, Sarah, shares a little story about a narcissistic person. It says, I remember when I realized I was dealing with a narcissist, I remember receiving a beautiful embossed card on December that simply read joy. I put it on my mantle for a few days before I really thought about that word. I felt so disconnected from it. What's joy? Then I found myself wondering, when did I get so negative? Why am I always so down on myself? And when are things going to seem good? Or at least okay? I feel like I'm always 1 minute from tragedy. Why do I feel so guilty every time I feel the least happy? Whether it's your boyfriend, your mother, or your best friend, you might find yourself living with a narcissistic delusion, subjugating your own needs and feelings downright terrible most of the time. While you want to live your truth, you feel like you can't. There are a lot of habits that narcissists teach us that make it seem almost impossible to break free. So, the first point, it says, a narcissist won't appreciate all you go through to accommodate or satisfy them. And we talked about family, and then we escalated to social. Yeah. Narcissistic person. Do you think a narcissist is born or is made?
I think it's a little of both.
Okay.
Okay. For instance, you probably see it like in the youngest child, because everyone loves the youngest child because they're the funny.
There's
one.
There's always a favorite.
Yeah.
And you cannot tell me as a dad you don't have a favorite because my parents they always tell me like we love you all the same. I'd be like, no, you have a favorite and you love differently.
There is a favorite because it's the one that you connect with the most.
Okay.
And what it is or. It's the one that you have the best connection with, meaning that you're not going to connect with everybody in the same manner.
Okay.
Right. And sometimes your kids aren't the best, you know, sometimes they're assholes. It's just what it is. Right.
Yeah.
And you might not be feeling them right now, or maybe one of your kids has been an asshole for a long time and you still love them, but you just don't like them very much right now. Right. And so, yeah, there's a favorite. Or you know what? There tends to be the oldest kid always gets put all the responsibility on.
Yep.
You got to be this. You got to be that. You got to be that. And so, and the middle kid oftentimes always wants to prove themselves.
That's me.
Right? And then you get the youngest kid that gets to be funny. Mm-hmm. Right? That, don't put a lot of pressure. Because they already put up with all the oldest one's bullshit. They always put up with all the middle one's bullshit. Just let this one go. Mm-hmm. Let them go. Right? And so you're going to get different personalities. And so oftentimes I think that sometimes there's the child that no one says no to. And then that child starts learning all these little different strategies on how to get people to say yes. And then, like, the child cries and you say yes, or the child gives you some attitude and everybody thinks it's funny. And so they go, oh, yeah, look, you give
it. It is funny until it's your own.
It's funny until that child's an adult doing that same bullshit. Yep.
So the reason why I ask about if a narcissistic person is born or is made, and you said it's kind of like both
things. A little bit of both, yeah.
And then I bring this topic of, you know, favorite sons or daughters or kids. It's because sometimes you don't want to deal with the whole thing. The article says when you're dealing with an extremely selfish person, it's often easier to let them have their way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
if you have a kid that usually gets their way, are you encouraging the narcissistic behavior to become mature
when they grow up? I think you are. I think if you're always letting them have their way, mm-hmm. then you are. But here's what I see, because it's like, you draw the line and they cross it and you let it go. And you draw the line and they crossed it and you let it go. And then pretty soon it's like, oh, just let them have it. So I see this a lot with mine, because they all have different personalities.
Okay.
And my youngest one will fight you to the death for something where my older ones won't. And so you tend to not go, hey, let's not fight to the death on this. Just let him have it and get out of the way, right? And mm-hmm. his brothers even do that with him. Just let him have it. I don't want to fight, right? But then you start instilling the wrong attitude.
Okay.
Right? Of it's okay to do that. It's okay.
At the end of the day,
I'm going to lay it down and we're going to have every fight, knockdown, drag out. And if mm-hmm. I don't get what I want, everyone's going to suffer.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Okay. Right?
And you can't let that line... You got to say, no, it's not okay.
So a lot of people from the beginning, they start pushing the line a little bit further and further.
Yeah. And that's what I see is I see is like it's how you said, oh, just let them have it. Just mm-hmm. let them. I don't want to deal with this. Okay. Right. And in my mind, I think that's just being lazy as a parent.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't want to, it's going to be difficult. Let them have it.
All right. So that's as a parent. What about when you are confronted with a boss or a worker or co-worker that has this attitude? Because I've seen it in a place of work that, oh, you know what? I don't even want to talk to Larry because he's really hard to deal with. Just... You know,
exactly.
Let him have his way.
And that behavior keeps getting, mm-hmm. right? And so then that's where you have to start, I believe, doing some decision making, some business decisions, some personal business decisions, right?
Yeah.
You got to go, is your job worth doing this? If not, right?
I think that's why I do all this. I don't want to deal with people a lot of the time.
No, but you're going to see is sometimes you just have a boss that's demanding. There's a difference between being demanding.
And being narcissistic.
And being a narcissist.
Yes.
Like you have a boss that's demanding because they've got, sometimes your boss has a lot riding on it and you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They mortgage their house the second time on something and they got to come through. If they don't come through, they're fucked.
Yep.
Right. Sometimes it's like the boss had to deal with 15 people before they got to you,
mm-hmm.
and you're just 16.
Okay.
It's just what it is. You are going to get it because you're the last one, right?
True.
And sometimes the situation just isn't right for you. But if you have the boss or the coworker or whatever that's the narcissist, there's a couple things you can do. Caveat here is I've never had a real job, so I can't... I can't say, oh, I go talk to the boss and I say that.
And I will never, I've never been married or have kids.
But what you have to do in the end of the day is make that decision. Is the job, like, because some people have to be there because, hey, this is the only way I'm going to make income. So deal with it. I guess then you have to deal with it,
mm-hmm.
right? But the whole point of this article is you're not going to argue with this person because they don't give a fuck. And when I say they don't give a fuck, they don't give a fuck how far they gotta go to be right.
To be right.
They'd rather be right than rich.
So the next part of this topic, it says, they put an example. For instance, you agree to get dinner at 7, but they'll show up whenever they want. So you let it go because it's just a few hours and you already know how they are. The problem is when you do it to them, they don't tolerate that.
Exactly.
They cannot have someone ruin their plans just because it's them. Like, they feel entitled that we said at 7, and it doesn't matter what your life is, your schedule is, if you are mom, dad, whatever you have to, I need you here at 7.
Yeah.
But they can do it. They can be late because they feel they are important, and they feel that I have a lot of things to do.
Yeah, and they feel like the world revolves around mm-hmm. their schedule and their time, and they're just so busy mm-hmm. when it comes to you. I'm so busy. You know, I got caught up in the episode of The Simpsons or something. I'm busy.
Yeah.
But then when you miss something or you're like 5 minutes late, they're like, what the fuck? You know, it's a totally different thing. And the whole article is gonna tell you that you can't argue with that person, and it's yeah. right. Is you either tell either you say, hey, this is the way I'm going to be treated,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't want to treat me like this, then there's the door.
There is only two options at the end of the article. Is you know what you're getting into when you meet with a narcissist in a battlefield. Either you let them have their way and just suck it up, or just don't deal with it and get away from it.
Yeah, you don't have to accept any... Like, if they don't want to communicate with you or treat you in the right way, you don't mm-hmm. have to accept it. You can at any given time say, look, I don't accept that as the way you're going to communicate with me. I don't accept that as the way you're going to treat me.
Mm-hmm.
And we can either do it the way, and then you outline it, or we're done.
Okay.
And here's the thing is when you are in a relationship with somebody, obviously you feel tied to them, right? You feel responsibility to them. You feel a connection with them. And if I'm not with this person, how will I ever recover and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give it a month and I guarantee you go, man, my life's so much better.
Yeah.
But this is... So I've been in relationships with people like that, I guess I could say. I haven't been in a ton like that because I'm somebody who doesn't care. Like, okay. I don't care that much. I shouldn't say I don't care, but is like I care more about how I'm being treated. And that's where you will lose with a narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you don't care how you're being treated, then, or if you're going to let yourself be treated any less than what you feel you are, your whole life's going to be flipped upside down. You're not only going to blame the narcissist, you're going to start blaming yourself. You go, why the fuck am I doing this? Am I not worth? You're going to start questioning yourself.
But the process is kind of like you start blaming yourself
for their actions.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
When you're in a relationship with a narcissistic person. And then until you finally break free from the narcissist, then you start discovering, wait a second, that wasn't me. Like, that was just him or her. And it's only when you are starting to break free and realizing, like, okay, he was getting upset all the time because it took me 5 minutes more to do my makeup, or I just took me 5 more minutes to be in time for dinner.
Or you didn't answer the phone on the first ring when they called, or that you never care about their things when hey, you got a job to go to. I can't sit here and care about your
things. This is something we all do, I think, at some point. It says you don't want to be petty and you don't want to spoil your day with an argument.
Exactly. So you let it
go. So just let it go. And I think that's just encouraging people to keep doing what they are doing best. Just being...
But that's the same thing of like when you say let it go,
mm-hmm.
is it's because you're so fucking tired of fighting. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck. Let's just go.
But I don't know if you noticed, but the first part was you just let it go because you know how they are. And then we jump to, I don't want to be petty. Like, now I'm blaming this on me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to bring the mood down. I don't want to be the reason why the fight is starting. So now I'm the reason why.
You try to be the better person. Yeah.
And it's not true. Like, you are the better person already. So just don't pull with it. Like, put up with it. So we conform to the narcissist. That's why they keep us around. So we are like... I don't know how to say this without offending a lot of people. I really don't care. But a lot of narcissists, they keep us around because we feed them.
Yeah.
Energy, and we feed
them. They're like energy vampires.
Yep. My mom uses that analogy all the time. But like emotional leeches that attach to you, they can be there forever if you don't realize that this is damaging you in so many ways. And eventually when you're completely dry and when you can't do this anymore, that's when you finally are like, okay, what am I doing wrong? You start doing everything wrong by just staying there.
Yeah.
So how do you think people should start realizing, like, what are some of the red flags?
What are the red flags?
For a narcissistic person.
Okay, like when you want to go somewhere, mm-hmm. it's always a hassle when you want to do it, that's a red flag. Like, for instance, I like sports, and I went with a girl. I dated a girl who was all about it until we were serious. And then when we were serious,
that was it.
Sports, what? You know? Mm-hmm. And knowing that I love sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, or just like with work, is I have a certain... and my work is just too important all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Right? And, however, there was never a problem when you needed money.
Okay.
Right? To do this thing that built up your ego. Right? Yeah. But, and so the things that you want to look at is one, or I would come home and I would have like a whole day, and I don't talk about work and things like that and all that. And no matter what it is I talk about, it always goes back to
that person,
their day, their fight at the grocery store, mm-hmm. whoever they fought with, because they always get in fights for some reason too. That's another thing. If they can't go to the grocery store without getting in a fight, right? That's probably
a narcissistic.
So they got to tell you every detail, every person.
And you have to pay attention. You have to be in the conversation, 100% invested.
And if you're not empathetic with them getting in a fight at the grocery store,
yeah.
And you go, I can't even name three people at the grocery store. And and then it turns into this whole.
So the article says that it's always the place that they want to go, the movie they want to watch. It's always, we want to argue right now, and we're going to fix this right now. It's my time, it's my way, and it's my life. So for them, it's not like you are part of my life and we complement each other in problems or whatever. It's my life. So I'm letting you be part of my life. But so if you want to be here, that's fine. We are doing this.
So I dated a girl that used to be like into fitness competitions and things like that.
Okay.
I won't mention her name on here because I don't want her ringing me up and punching me in the nose or something like that and breaking my nose. But anyways, we have to eat this way. What's this we stuff?
You are competing, not right? me.
And then why don't you do it this way and this way? And, mm-hmm. and like trying to control everything, but to make it like the mirror image of what she was doing. Right? And then everything was this built around what she wanted her life to be. With no question of like, hey, what are your goals, aspirations, things like that. It was just what my life is going to be. What I want my life to be, and you should do these things so I can have my life the way I want it to be. And never like, hey, what did you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
There's never any, like, there's never the conversation of like, what are your career goals? What are your this thing? You do anything outside of this? It's always just what I want to do and how you're going to help me get there.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You are just a tool in their plot of this story.
Exactly.
Another thing is that once they establish these relationship, because they don't show up right away.
No.
It's a slowly kind
of. They ease into
it. Yeah. They.
It's one ask turns into a greater ask, turns into a greater ask, and pretty soon they got you committing murder for no, you know.
Pretty much. So the next thing in the process is you start noticing that they will never say thank you. They will never recognize whatever you have gone through in order for them to be accommodated, happy, or okay with their lifestyle.
And not only will they not say thank you, but they'll criticize you while they're at it.
That's the next point. But right now we are on the just saying thank you.
So they don't say thank you because you didn't do it right.
They use the word. I don't use the word. They use the word entitled. Yeah. They feel entitled that you need to do it just because I'm giving you the blessing of being in your life.
And the only time they will say thank you is to put on a show for the people around them. Yeah. To make them look like, oh, look at how grateful I am.
Yeah.
Somebody take a photo of me saying thank you to this person real quick.
So we see a lot of narcissistic people in the business, in the like the whole, I'm getting a lot of money, so I'm gonna give away money so you can see me.
Look at me now.
Yeah. And these people, they are actually not in the business for actually helping people, but to promote some sort of agenda within their own narcissistic lifestyle. So point number two, it says they will never remember all the things you did right, only what you did wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you've ever been close to a narcissist, you're probably felt like a perfectionist. Nothing you do is good enough, and you're always missing the mark. The narcissist loves having people like this in his or her life because their expectations are unrealistic and their standards are impossible. The narcissist is also a perfectionist. And that's why I think I told my friend, like, I think I am a narcissistic person. I rather not having someone helping me with a cake or decorations because I'm a perfectionist. But I will never go to a point in which I'm just gonna have you there in my kitchen just so I can show off and bring you down for what you cannot do. So that's why she told me, like, no, you're not a narcissistic. You're just a perfectionist on what you do. I'm like, okay, that's okay.
Well, if you look at it, somebody who's a narcissist, it'll be like this. It'll be like, you do 15 great, amazing things, and you forget one. And they won't talk about the 15 amazing things that you did. They're only going to talk about that one.
So I'm going to talk about my mom because this is English. I'm not going to... I didn't do it in Spanish, but I'm going to do it in...
Permiso, mamá.
Yeah. I hope neither my brother or my sister listen because they're going to tell her. But I am the middle child. I am the one always getting in fights. I'm always the one who, like, failed classes. I'm the one who got tattoos. So I feel like all the time my parents were on top of everything about I did, right? But my mom, no matter how many good things I did, it was either you forgot to put the trash out, you forgot to wash the dishes. She will never remember the good things that I did.
Yeah.
Never. And I'm not saying that she's a narcissistic. She might. I don't know. I'm not here to judge my mom. I'm just here to judge what happened. So I feel like even to this day, we still focus on... And she gives me a lot of compliments. I'm not trying to portray my mom as a monster. It's just that when I was growing up, I just noticed that, like, in my head, the questions were, why are you so focused on my dirty laundry under the bed? Instead of, he cleaned his room, no matter if the laundry, it's under the bed. My room was clean. You asked me to clean the room. Just acknowledge that.
Yeah. And now we can do this from, because when you did the Spanish version, I assume that you're doing it with a young lady, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you a young lady's perspective here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're some guy's boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're home. When he gets home, you got dinner made. You're dressed nice. You do. You're putting things aside, you're sucking dick, you're doing everything that this guy could want, and then then maybe you burnt the dessert or something like that. And all he wants to talk about is you burning the dessert.
That you can't do anything right.
You can't do anything right, or you forgot something. right?
Mm-hmm.
And you do all these things on a regular basis, right? And then maybe once a month you forget something. And mm-hmm. we're going to have a fucking, you know, a whole production over this one thing that you forgot one time out of the month.
And the thing is, the burned dessert actually brings one thing that you did wrong the week before. And then that is going to bring all the things that you haven't done right, according to them.
Yeah.
In the period of time they've been together.
And so I'm going to start lowering your value, mm-hmm. is what I'm doing. I'm going to start stacking all these things to kind of build my case to lower your value. So that I'm here up high. You can't see me on the podcast. I have my hand way up in the air and you're way the fuck down here.
Eventually we're going to have cameras.
Right. Here. And so the idea is the same thing that we're talking about is I've got to raise my ego. And the way I raise my ego is I make sure that you aren't up to.
Mm-hmm.
There's no room for anyone at the top.
Nope. It's just them. I feel that sometimes. Like, I want to be the best, but at the same time, I know there's a lot better bakers and better singers and better at everything that I try to do. So it's not that there's no room for them. It's just that I know they are either better or just I'm kind of good in what I do. I don't know.
But you're not going to do something destructive to raise your ego, though.
I might. I don't know.
And that's the difference between... No, what I would say destructive is you're not going to go and pick apart their shit in front of them and go, look, you did this, you did that, you did this. You're nothing to me, you know? Because that's not... That's a different approach. You can say, oh, yeah, he does this better than me, or I do this better than he does, but that's different than... Like, you start attacking their character.
Mm-hmm. So, the article tells you, like, whatever you do, there's never going to be the good list. There's always going to be a naughty list.
Yeah.
With a narcissistic person. So, no matter how hard you bend backwards for them and how many amazing things you do for them, there's always going to be a dirty laundry list for them. So you have the choice right now to get out of that relationship, either if it's a work related or love related. My question is, the problem is when it's a son.
Okay.
Or someone you cannot just...
You can't get away from.
Yeah. Right? What do you do?
You gotta be like a bear in the wild. You gotta stand your ground. Stand your ground.
Okay.
No, it depends. I mean, on how old they are and things like that. I mean, obviously, those are factors. So, if they're a lot smaller than you, like they're young,
mm-hmm.
that's when it's time to step up, be a parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them walk all over you. You don't have to. You're three times their size. What are they going to do, right? But you have to, it's a lot of toughness.
Yeah.
Right? And something that I've talked about with some people is when you are when you're a parent, you have to have the kind of the attitude of a hunter.
What is that?
If you want to change an environment, like the park systems and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, Yellowstone Park, it changed its environment by introducing wolves back into Yellowstone Park.
Okay.
You want to change the environment immediately, introduce a top predator.
Okay.
Right? A top predator is a predator that nothing else eats.
Yeah.
Right? So your dad, mom, whatever, you're the top predator. Ain't nothing else eating you. So you ain't got to worry about any of that. And so you have to have that attitude of that you are the hunter.
Okay.
You're not all the sheep, all the farm animals over here. You're the top predator. Ain't nothing eat you. You're the boss.
Why do you think we live in times where kids now slapping parents and doing tantrums at the store just allowing it?
Like I said, is that role. Is no one ever taught them how to be...
Parents?
How to be parent, or even like in that role of I've got to be the hunter. I've got to be the predator.
Okay.
Right? And I think this goes way back. This is a whole nother podcast, but this is school.
generational.
They teach you how to be farm animals. You go, you get in a big group,
mm-hmm.
and you sit in the herd. Because look, a herbivore,
easy to control.
They spend their whole life out there just looking for a stick to snap so they can run away. Mm-hmm. And they got to stay in the group, because if they don't stay in the group, they're going to die.
Yeah.
Top predator don't do that. When I'm hungry, I get up and eat.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not worried about a twig snapping. Ain't nothing eat me. Right?
I had this conversation with my dad, and I don't think it's maybe going to be relatable, but I asked him, like, school only teaches you how to become part of the group. In school, like, all the classes that I had, they never taught you how to create your own business, how to be a boss, how to become successful. They teach you how to obey, how to play good with others, and they teach you that if you don't play with others, you're not going to be successful. So they teach you how to be part of the workforce, not how to create the workforce.
And then what happens if your teacher is a narcissist?
And the problem is, what happens when you are growing up listening to your mom, and you said this, listening to your mom or dad saying, like, honey, you can do whatever you want. Honey, you are amazing. You can sing. You are beautiful. Blah, blah, blah. And then you face a world and they tell, like, dude, you don't know how to sing. Like, you cannot sing.
But also not just you can do whatever you want. But again, it's the parents saying, this is how you can talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
You might talk to him and her, and I do this with my kids. My kids don't backtalk me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can talk to anybody else, you won't talk to me like that. I don't care. You can go play with your plasma somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
But you won't talk to me like that. And that has to be the line, and you won't treat me like that.
Okay.
But you have to do that from, like...
Zero.
Zero? But here's the thing that they don't put on there. A lot of narcissists are cowards. Because as soon as you bust that bubble,
they become the martyr and the
right.
They are the victims.
And so as soon as you instill that mindset in you, that I won't let anybody treat me like that. That mm-hmm. I'm the predator. I'm not the farm animal over here with the group.
Mm-hmm.
At first, there's going to be this big explosion of fight back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then after that big explosion of fight back, they're going to cry and run away. Because in the end of the day, they're a coward.
Wow. I did not see that one coming. Because most narcissistic people that I've encountered, maybe I'm the coward in the whole combo, they always have these place of power over me. Either is mom, dad, brother, sister, whatever, a boss. And then I was raised with the idea of you have to respect your elders,
yeah,
and you have to respect whoever is in charge.
But look at this. If you're confident in yourself, it doesn't matter who you play with.
Yeah. Right? That's why I don't play with people.
But if you're confident in yourself, it doesn't matter who you play with. But a narcissist will always pick people weaker than them. They'll never pick somebody better than they are.
Mm-hmm. See, I think... That's
the cowardly act right there.
I think I'm trying to be smart about all this. Because I know that I'm a narcissist when it comes to certain things. Maybe not the toxic narcissist, but
yeah, everybody has a little bit of
it. Yeah, so there is the narcissistic person that says, and I had a boss like this. Remember my accountant boss, whatever, he was like this in the office. No one, and he said it out loud, no one can do his job. Like, there's only one person, and he built that office from the ground up. Yeah. No one, but there was people who knew how to do the job better than him. But he would never actually publicly agree with that fact. So at the end of the day, a lot of people with him, they were fired because they did something that it was better than he was doing.
Exactly.
And the clients started noticing. And he will, like, clients will tell him, like, well, this person did this for me, and this took you months to finish. So I don't want to deal with you. I want to deal with her.
I mean, and in the end of the day, is like I said, is because it hurt his ego.
Yeah.
And he won't have anybody playing for him that's better than him.
Now, this is what I think I'm smart. As I'm doing like all these podcasts and all this, you know, social media thing, I want to surround myself with strong-minded and smart people, because I know they have some other intake. I know any of this is not going to be successful if I just rely on myself. I'm going to have success. It's just not going to be the success that I want, because
the scale that you
want. Yeah. So I know, like, in my feel for some that I'm using people, I'm not, because I'm giving them credit. I know they are smart. I know they are funny, or I know they are strong. So that's something that I don't want to be a narcissist that says, like, I can only do this. If I'm going to be famous, if this podcast is going to be good, it's because of me. No, it's not going to be because of me. It's because of the topics. It's because your opinion or someone else's opinion or the person behind the phone and the...
Yeah, it's a whole recipe.
So when... I totally forgot my stupid question. Like, I had a question for all this I said. Totally forgot. Anyway, so let's jump into the last one.
All right.
It says, if your subject... No. If you subjugate your needs long enough, you will begin to lose yourself and your sense of self-esteem. Yeah. Says, when you're making a decision, does your mind automatically wonder what the narcissist would do?
Yeah. And you'll see that is you can't do anything for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime you do something for yourself, you're worried about, are they going to say some shit?
So there is this story that these lady... told me, and maybe you know the movie. There is a movie in which Sleeping with the Enemy.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember the movie, but she was telling me that she is married to this narcissistic person, and he likes everything a certain way. So one of the rules was, I like my bottles of soda or water, sparkling water, in the fridge, all stickers facing forward. And if that didn't happen, and if he opened the refrigerator, he would get super mad and beat her up, or I don't know what happened. But the story goes, or the movie keeps going, and then she finds herself doing it even after.
Yeah.
They stop, or they were divorced. So sometimes we do this unconsciously. Sometimes we do, like, what would this person do in this situation? Because there's nothing anymore in our self-esteem. We think that we are not good enough, so we automatically jump into the, he was better at dealing with people or clients. He was better at doing this. He was better, or she was better at doing this. So we automatically go to that place, and we keep, like, bringing ourselves down, even if the narcissist is not around anymore.
Yeah, but what happens, I think, is it's not so much that they were better. It's just that you've lost touch with the value of yourself. And so it's more so of, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not, they were better. They were better. Because you'll actually vocalize how much of a piece of shit they were, but then you'll end up going back to doing the same things that you were doing.
So I do remember this exercise when I was in BYU, and we were talking about not specifically narcissism, but toxic relationships. When someone gets out of a toxic relationship, there are certain questions that you can ask yourself in order to start building again your self-confidence. One of them is, what do I want? Because eventually you lose yourself in what the other person wanted, that you start doing everything to cover those needs, that you forget about your own needs. So the first question is, what do I want?
Yeah.
You already broke the relationship.
Underline the word I.
So you're free, right? But then you are facing a new world. You are facing something totally new. You haven't been free for a long time. So the question should be, what now? What do I want? What do I need? And how to start doing that.
Yeah.
Once you start doing that and ask yourself that every single day, what do I want today? Then you start building your self-confidence again. It could be, what do I want today? I want to lose weight. Then you lose weight. What do I want today? I want to find a new job. Then you go out and find a new job. And you're not doing it because of them.
Yeah. And one thing that you have to look at too is the relationship you're in. Is that the first relationship that you've been in that's like that? Mm-hmm. Or is this a repeating thing? Like, is this just a carbon copy of another relationship that you've been in? And are you seeking out these people?
And I think it's because, I don't know, I might be wrong. You break free from a narcissistic, toxic relationship, right? And then you find yourself not asking yourself these questions.
Yeah.
So eventually, what you need is someone telling you what to do. Well, it's someone guiding you.
It's being comfortable being controlled.
Because you don't have to be... You used a specific word in the previous episode, which it was accountable.
Yeah.
You don't have to be accountable for what you do. Then you blame others.
Yeah.
And it's easier to blame others. Or I'm depressed because he put me in that place. Or she put me in that place. Or I don't have money because I don't know what to do. Like, they never let me study or find a job. So you are free now.
Yeah.
You don't need a relationship. Find yourself first. And then once you establish a self-loving relationship with you, then you can
pursue. You date yourself for a while.
I hate when I see a lot of friends and family members, they break up with people or they end up a relationship. And the first thing they do is they jump into another relationship. I'm like, you know what? I love going to the movies by myself. I know how to be alone. Even though I have depression and anxiety, I still love my time with myself. Depression and anxiety has nothing to do with being alone. I love my time. It's just that I'm not putting my happiness on the hands of someone else.
Yeah, and they go through the same pattern of starting the relationship too. The relationship starts the same way, mm-hmm. it develops the same way, and everything has that same pattern over and over again. So obviously somebody who's fool me once, shame on me,
mm-hmm.
right? Or shame on you, and fool me twice, shame on me. It's because what happens is these are patterns.
Mm-hmm.
If I've done it once, why did I do this? Right? And this is where you need to seek professional help. Is you go, why the fuck am I doing the same pattern over and over again?
Mm-hmm.
And is there a way to break it? Right? Because I've seen where girl dates somebody, their dad was like that in some way.
Hmm.
Right?
Okay.
And I had this kid say this to me one time. It was funny because he was a kid. He said, I'll date a stripper because they got daddy issues. They'll let you do anything they want.
Wow.
But it's true. Right?
Okay.
Because it's the, hey, if they were letting this go on then they'll let it go on and keep going on,
mm-hmm.
and keep going on because the pattern has been developed.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where you got to say, hey, the narcissist did what they did. But now I need to seek some professional help so that I don't continue this pattern of seeking them out.
There is a limit to what a narcissistic person can do to your personal life. Like, there is a limit in which they cannot cross anymore. And it's just you doing it to yourself.
Yeah.
And I think the hardest part of this is we are our own critics. And we are hard on ourselves. No one knows how hard I criticize myself every morning and every night before I go to bed. So it's easier for my brain to understand that I'm in this situation because I blame someone else. But at the end of the day, I know that person couldn't cross that boundary of my personal self-inflicting pain that I do after I, you know, broke up with someone.
Yeah.
Or, so... I have to say this, and I think it's gonna be like a thing for me to say in this podcast, is I am not a professional. If you are feeling or if you are living with a narcissistic person and it's becoming toxic, please seek help. professional help. Talk to someone, tell someone what you're going through, because also you cannot do this on your own sometimes. You need help. And that's another thing. Sometimes people can start telling you like, hey, you know, be careful, watch out. This person is like this and you...
But I love them. That's the next, very next fucking thing that you hear. But I love him. Oh, that person just gave you a black eye. But I love him.
And the next one is, I know he's or she's going to change when the baby comes. Or I'm just staying because of the kids. No, you don't have to stay because of the kids. And that person is never going to change. And you're never going to change if you just keep repeating these habits. So please seek professional help. And thank you for listening to this podcast. But I hope this is a step of you trying to find someone who actually can help you and guide you through breaking free from these kinds of habits. So, Max, thank you again. This article, like I said, at the end of the day, there's only two choices for you. Either you know what you're getting into when you are getting into bed with a narcissist, and you decide to just
get out. It's either acceptance or not.
Yeah, there's always... two options with this kind of topics. So thank you for helping me out with this episode. And if you want to contribute to my podcast for me being able to give you better quality, better topics, and better everything, remember to go to the Anchor, the Amputee Guy page, and you can donate. And you can send also text messages through the app, so we can maybe talk about the topics you want to listen. Also, there is my social media. Facebook, you can find me as Benjamin Castillo. And then on Instagram, BCC27. Remember that we love you. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Thank you for listening to
The Amputee Guy.
For now, I have to say goodbye.
But stay tuned.
Until our next episode, Ben Castillo is out.